Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios. Very good. Welcome to the studio, and you'll be talking about your book a little bit. How long did it take you to write that book?
You know, it took almost 5 months. I would get up every morning and do 1,500 words and rewrite it in the afternoon, and did that every day for 4 months.
Now, did you have a co-writer?
No.
All on your own?
No.
And then you had your editor look at it, and would he come back to you and say, I need you to fix this or rewrite that?
I used to call her the word Nazi. She took it from 95,000 words down to 80.
Okay, well, wow. Well, that's good. And I saw it was just released May 15th.
That's right.
So you're on a worldwide book tour now, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, nationwide, anyway.
Okay, nationwide.
Yeah. One country at a time, yeah.
Tomorrow I'll be at the Eagle Eye Bookstore at 1:30 in the afternoon in Decatur, Georgia.
That's nice. Beautiful downtown Decatur, Georgia. So look for Mr. Barnett out there with his new book, Gumption. And so we'll get back to you here in a moment. Just a formal introduction, but let's introduce our other guest here today, James Moss. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. It's unbelievable day.
That's right. And you are going to be one of the newest show hosts here at the Buckhead Business Radio X studio, right?
That's correct. And also we're looking at a sister location in Fairfield, California.
Good. And you're going to be hosting Progressive Business Radio. Tell us a little bit about that, please, sir.
Well, it's reaching out to what we call the RSB market, or really small businesses. And we want to emphasize the new media marketing methods as opposed to traditional, which have really changed in the last few years. Exponential growth has happened. Also, a second emphasis we want to place on mentorship and entrepreneurship, helping to pair people, mentors, with small businesses to learn.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. And you've been a guest on the show before, and you had a good in-studio experience then, and so much so now you want to host your own show. But more importantly, use some of your business acumen and your marketing specialties to reach a larger audience. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. And so when does that show launch?
July 1st.
July 1st. And what day of the week is it going to be?
Wednesdays.
Wednesdays. And what time will it begin?
1 o'clock.
Wednesdays at 1 p.m., you can hear James Moss in Progressive Business Radio and talk a little bit about some of the guests you'll be having in the studio, maybe the short list that you already have planned.
Short list, we plan to get Ronald Kenyatta, who was the fitness and strength coach for the Mets. He traveled for years. Helped him to develop a small business. He focused on isogenics, and it turned into something that he could actually leave that circuit and stop living out of a suitcase. Mm-hmm. So he's here in Atlanta. He's working with a number of people that, in specialty fitness areas, exercises that focus with tennis professionals, athletes. We have others in the real estate area, and we've developed a couple of small apps that are available now as well. So we got an exciting list ahead.
I was going to say so. And you have a marketing background, you entrepreneurial background, and you just bring a wealth of knowledge to the Business Radio X platform. So any other thoughts you may have for the listeners out there, any kind of teaser you can give them about what to expect from your show?
Well, expect some exciting things. As I said, we want to help small businesses, really small businesses, develop nuanced tools in this day and age in society. And we're excited about that.
And so are we. I think we are here at the Buckhead Business Radio X Studios. I'm very excited to have you join the team and looking forward to some tremendous guest lineup and some certainly some good inside business talk. And please share your website with the listeners so they can find you more directly.
You can reach us at www.progressivebusinessradio.com.
Very good. So please do visit that website, and please do tune in on July 1st, Wednesday at 1 p.m. for the inaugural broadcast of Progressive Business Radio. Please stick around, Mr. Moss, and join us as we welcome more in-depth Mr. Barnett. Scott is a well-known figure in the U.S. and international restaurant scene. He was president and CEO of Rusty Pelican Restaurants from 1992 until 1998. And led that troubled company through its reorganization and return to financial health. As founder and CEO of Bubba Gump Shrimp Company Restaurants, from its inception, Barnett grew that internationally known brand to over 40 restaurants and $250 million in revenue. After selling the company in 2011, he worked as a senior advisor with Pulo Run Capital Partners, an Asia-based investment bank and private equity firm in Hong Kong, where he focused on the consumer sector of Pulo Run. Mr. Barnett is a graduate of University of Arizona with a BS degree in finance and is now our latest guest in the studio here at BuckheadBusinessRadioX.com. Welcome, Mr. Barnett.
Thanks for having me.
Well, our pleasure. We are glad to have a guy like you grace our Business Radio X studios here. And so let's talk about your book, Gumption. And when did you get started writing that?
Last year, I started in late February. It really came out as a result of a visit to the University of Arizona Eller School of Business. And the dean there was a friend of mine, and he wanted me to write a case for the business graduate students. So I started writing it, and I got to about 10,000 words, and I didn't have a restaurant open yet. So I decided to he talked me into keep going, and I kept going and going and going until I finally ended up with the book.
Right. So it was the book's original intention about the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company and how you founded it.
That's correct.
And so the title Gumption, when did that come to you?
didn't come until much later. It was there were lots of different titles that we were playing with, and we liked the play on the word gump, gumption, and then taking Bubba Gump from movie to restaurant was really kind of part of the whole thing, and that's the subtitle of the book.
Now, why did you think the creation of just a movie and a fictitious restaurant or shrimp company in the movie would be a good idea to start a restaurant to begin with?
You know, it's a really good question. When we started doing research about the restaurant, we found out that there was really an unforced translation from the movie to a restaurant. There was a real belief that it could really exist and that it would make sense for Forrest and Bubba to go out and start a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times I would have customers come up to me and say, well, I always knew you had the shrimp company, but I never knew you had the restaurant. And so it was really life imitating art in a real sense. There is no real shrimp company.
No, right. But it's become a brand. People love that movie.
Yeah.
And you see shirts, you see hats, you see restaurants, all stemming from that one character and that one fictitious restaurant in there.
The movie, when it came out, was, until Titanic, was Paramount's most successful movie ever.
Okay.
And it is still the highest grossing film in Japan of all time. It in China, it was exceptionally popular, and all across the world. So the thing has grossed well in excess of $1.5 billion now since it's coming out.
That's amazing. Do you remember the first time you saw that movie?
I have to confess, I never saw the movie until we started looking at the deal. So I didn't see the movie until I saw it on video.
Wow, so you had to go back and revisit the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember seeing that movie in the theater, and I remember just how I felt emotionally and just identified with the character and, you know, his struggles in life. And I can almost take it back to in my mind that day over there at a theater in Alpharetta, Georgia, when I saw that movie. And I've since enjoyed it every time it comes on TBS on the weekend. So now, some say you are a maverick CEO, and you had to break all the rules out there to change the way restaurants did business. How can you speak to that for me?
Well, I wish I was that big of a maverick, and I wish I had changed the restaurant business for, you know, forever, but I didn't. What I did is I just attached kind of the way I viewed life and business in general, and I translated that into my business methods. My style is very collaborative, very participative among my people. When we started doing the concept, it would not have been uncommon for a food server to come up with one of the ideas that ends up in the concept at a later date. When we did a gumbo recipe, it was our cooks, line cooks in New Orleans, who came up with that recipe, and then we just added it to the menu, and it's on the menu all over the country.
That's definitely a little unorthodox, you know. From your perspective, you're the decision maker. It's not often you listen to the actual day-to-day workers, and so...
Well, if you think about it, who's closer to the customer, me or a food server or host or someone who's actually interacting with them every day?
Yeah.
So they really do have a better picture about what's really going on and what the customer wants. And in my business anyway, it's the customer who's the ultimate arbiter of whatever it is you do.
Oh, no doubt about it. I would think from a restaurateur's perspective, the waitress or waiter is the point man or woman who deals with the customer on a more regular basis.
That's true, and that's why they have to be empowered. in order to fix a problem or to create a memorable experience. At Bubba Gump, we weren't just selling food. We were selling an overall experience, and we were trying to create an emotional souvenir for people that they could leave, and when they think about it, that was really memorable. That was meaningful to me, and that's the real key in the restaurant business.
Yeah, it's a destination restaurant. You know, it's an experience restaurant, and so really, restaurant business is about marketing, right?
Very much so.
And so talk about your marketing strategy and how it evolved from the beginning to, I mean, you could put a restaurant up, says Bubba Gump Shrimp Company restaurant, but you still got to bring people in. So how did you go about that?
Well, when we were building the first restaurant in Monterey Bay about 15, 18 years ago, we would stand outside because we'd posted the signs on the restaurant. We'd stand outside for the first couple of months before we opened, and we'd listen to what people would say. And they would look and say, oh, it must be from the movie Forrest Gump. It's probably way overpriced. The food's probably lousy, but what the heck? We're on vacation. We'll go anyway.
Right.
Well, what happened was we had created an experience that had some much better than expected food, with this breakthrough, engaging, fun style of service, served in very authentic surroundings and very kind of fun surroundings. It was an old sardine factory.
Oh.
And the end result was the expectation was about a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, but the experience turned out to be about an 8 or a 9. Mm-hmm. So that difference was really a margin of victory. From the standpoint of the marketing of it, we had 94% unaided recognition of that brand as a result of the movie. That is such a powerful advantage, and it gives you what our marketing consultant used to call an unfair advantage over the competition, because we had the brand recognition of a Shell Oil company.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. And it was very powerful. The real challenge was how to deliver on that brand in a way that was completely transparent to the customer. They would view it as something that was just an outgrowth of the movie, an outgrowth of what Forrest Gump was all about. Mm-hmm. That was the challenge.
No, I bet that was. And do people really think there is a Bubba Gump? Do you ever get asked that question? Like a real-life Bubba Gump?
They do.
Yes, I bet they do.
It's kind of hard to believe, but they do.
Yep, right. And the marketing thing. So I see here you lean on the 4 P's of marketing. Is that something you developed yourself or somebody mentored you, or you just adapted through the years?
No, I wish it was me, and I can see him nodding over here. Yeah, it's the 4 P's is something that they'll teach you in business school to this day. And the 4 P's stand for product, promotion, price, and place. And if you think about it, those are really the 4 big aspects of marketing in any business, but particularly in the restaurant business, because you have to have a bent for marketing if you're going to be successful in the restaurant business. That's what it's about.
Marketing, marketing, marketing.
Correct.
The 3 M's of marketing.
You need to be a business school professor.
So now you grew this business through the years. You had over 40 restaurants, it said, around the world, right?
Right.
And then how did you know it was time to get out? Or what was the calling there?
Well, major sponsor, majority shareholder, was a group out of Pittsburgh, Venture Capital Group, and they had wanted to exit for quite a while. They had been in the deal for a long time, and 5 to 6 years is usually the normal window for a private equity or VC to be an investment. They'd been in this for years, many times that. So they were anxious to exit, and we were too. And we kissed a lot of frogs looking for a prince.
I bet.
And finally did get the deal done.
And so what were those problematic experiences you had with the private equity firm and the venture capital groups, especially during the selling of the company? I mean, what were some hurdles you had to go over there?
I think the challenge in that kind of a situation is that management and shareholders, and oftentimes, most times, management are shareholders, but management and shareholders' interests have to be totally aligned. Mm-hmm. Meaning that there's a belief that the company is, that there's a liquidity event that's going to happen, there's going to be a sale of the company, and there should be an agreement on the price and what the value is. Now, clearly, a CEO's responsibility is to enhance shareholder value to the best of his or her ability. In the case of what we were doing there, we had some disagreements as to what the ultimate value of the company was. And at the end of the day, a few deals fell out because the value just wasn't there. And I think that when you are in a mode of we've got to sell or we want to sell, then you still have to be patient, you still have to be careful, and you still have to try to get the best price and put a big spread out there in terms of what the potential market is for buying.
No, it makes sense. And so all these are stories you are sharing in your book,
That's
right?
correct. Yeah.
So and make sure you go see Scott out there signing his book at Eagle Eye Bookshop in downtown Decatur tomorrow, Saturday, June 6th at 1:30 p.m. And get him to autograph your book, and you'll double the value of that book almost, overnight there, I'm sure, because every autograph is more, more worth its value. So talk about your instincts when it comes to the finance part of it. You know, you can't just go by the numbers. You can't just go by what, you know, the accountants say. You have to kind of put some, you know, gut feeling into that.
You really do. When I started, I was in Bubba Gump. I had a budget of $315,000 to do a complete remodel of an entire restaurant, which is a fantasy. It can't be done for that kind of price. It was a 6,500 square foot building, and we needed to completely reskin it and do all the interior work as well as put in new equipment, what have you. I spent in that $685,000. And when we opened, we had expected to do about $3.2 million in revenue. We ended up doing six our first year. That restaurant today is doing well in excess of $11
million. Wow.
And I never somehow ever heard a word about that going over budget on my spending. So success has many parents. Failure is but an orphan.
So. Right. And so how many times ultimately have you failed before you succeeded? Probably more times.
Many times. And I took over a bankrupt company, essentially, in Rusty Pelican. We had to reorganize it around a core of high-performing restaurants, set about looking for a growth vehicle. I made a lot of mistakes in those days. I started a couple of different concepts that didn't work. Nobody ever heard of Rusty's American Cafe, and there's good reason for that, because it was a terrible concept, and it was all mine. But we did get lucky, and I had an extraordinarily powerful team, very dedicated, very able, and very smart. And so when we talk about Scott Barnett as being a good CEO, good CEOs are really their best when they surround themselves with the very best people, and that's what I did.
No doubt about it. And you know, a team helps you succeed, and so leaning on your team and helps you keep going forward in business. What about the young CEOs out there, the young entrepreneurs and restaurateurs that are upcoming? Any word of advice you may have for them?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of advice you can give.
Certainly.
I mean, the restaurant business, when you really get down to it, just boils down to hot food hot, cold food cold, service with a smile, in pleasant, clean, fun surroundings. And that's, if you think about it, that really is whether you're Del Frisco's or Jack in the Box or McDonald's or whoever, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people have a tendency to attach too much complication, too much complexity. And one of the things that I always learned from a mentor of mine, Pete Siracusa, who was the founder of Rusty Pelican, was the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid. And if you look, I mean, right next to your studios here, there's a restaurant called Houston's.
Yes, right.
And Houston's, if you look at it, its menu is not very big.
No.
There's not very many items on that menu. But it's literally impossible to get a bad meal at Houston's.
Mm-hmm.
They're so good that it's impossible. It's like going to Paris.
Right. They've been there for years. People know about it in the Atlanta community and come from across town to visit that location. And it just kind of has a life of its own that continues to evolve. And nothing's changed on the menu as far as I know. I haven't been there in a couple of years. But you're right. It's a simple dining experience, but it's a destination kind of restaurant where people seek out. So
When we were creating the concept, we looked at a lot of different successful restaurant companies. We looked at, you've heard of In-N-Out Burger on the West Coast, and Houston's restaurants, and we looked at Outback and a number of others. And what we did was we derived from each of them part of what they did that we thought was super successful. And if you look at Houston's, they have this team service approach, and they have a flow in the restaurant. The person who takes your order, very unlikely, is going to be the one who brought it, and very unlikely that person's going to be the one who clears the plate.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this full hands in, full hands out program. And In-N-Out Burger, when you drive up, unlike all the rest, they don't say, "Hey, may I take your order?" They say, "Hi, how are you?"
Yeah.
And that kind of a thing is engaging. It's automatic. You can't just say, "Give me two double doubles and fries." You have to say, "I'm fine. How are you doing?" You know, and that kind of thing, which is very common in the South, where people are very friendly, and you don't hear that or see that in some of the other areas of the country. Mm-hmm. And that engagement and fun and making people feel like they're a guest in your home for 45 minutes, as a server once put it to me, is powerful.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And so with the crossover between the fine dining and the fast food restaurant, you just made a couple of connections there.
Yeah, it exists.
Right. People wouldn't think that, you know, there is some connections between the Chick-fil-A, which is a huge Atlanta company, mm-hmm. and perhaps, you know, Houston's, as we were just speaking of. And it just happens to come down to the people, the hot food hot, the cold food cold, and the atmosphere plain and pleasant, right?
That's right.
That's good to know.
Service with a smile.
That's good. And so, and you mentioned a minute ago about someone mentoring you.
Yes.
And so you feel that's a big part of, you know, kind of giving back and learning, you know, the next generation.
It's essential. You if you find somebody, you know, there's a lot, you'll have a lot of bosses in your life. You won't have a lot of bosses you think are really good and hot and you respect to mm-hmm. the nth degree. In my case, I was fortunate. I had a boss who I really believed was the best at what he did. And so when he said something, which he didn't say a lot of things, but when he did, I listened very closely. And I'll tell you another story about that. I was working in college at a restaurant called Scordato's, and it's an Italian restaurant. I talk about it in my book, Gumption. And it was a very well-known northern Italian continental restaurant in Tucson, Arizona. And one day I'm standing next to the owner, Jim Scordato, and I asked him, you know, Jim, what makes the scallopini stressa so good? It was their signature dish. And he said, he looked at me, he goes, Scott, there's very little that you can do to food that won't be better if you can add fat, sugar, or salt. Right. And he said, if you can do all three, you hit the trifecta. Right. And he's right. If you look at the best food and chefs that are really doing a great job, they've added one or three, all of those ingredients.
Yeah. My brother just opened a restaurant just north of town here, and he's had a couple restaurants in the past. But, you know, he's certainly making that menu something people look at and say, I want to try that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just your regular hamburger and fries. And certainly the atmosphere is great, and it's a unique concept he has going on, and we hope he does really well. But if he just keeps adding fat, sugar, or salt to the diet, to the menu, people will keep coming back, right?
Maybe throw in some gluten? Is that
no? That's probably not a good idea.
Gluten-free, vegan-free, taste-free, you know, is what I say. You know. But that's a trend here, especially here in Atlanta. You know, people want to eat healthy, or at least have that option too on the menu. You can't just serve a bunch of heavy, you know, calorie food. You know, people want some sort of option to eat light, whether it be, you know, for lunch or dinner. So you see a lot of that trend happening.
That's
in restaurants
really true.
Today.
Very much so. I don't know if they have Seasons 52 restaurants here in Atlanta.
We have.
I mean, that's a group that does everything under 500 calories, yet their taste profiles are really good. Mm-hmm. And if you can hit on all those cylinders, you're really achieving something. I think eating healthy is very important, particularly with people who have children. They're very focused on that, mm-hmm. that they want their children eating healthy. And so when you see apple slices at McDonald's and you see other things like that and carrots at some of the other places in lieu of French fries, then you're seeing an opportunity for parents to take a step forward and say, yeah, I want my kids eating healthy. On the other hand, people talk healthy. But when they go to restaurants, they don't always order healthy. Yeah. They still want, it's because it's an indulgence. It's mm-hmm. something that if you're going to cook at home, steam the broccoli. But if you're going to go out, give me the au gratin potatoes.
Yeah. Well, how much of the restaurant experience is entertainment, right?
Yeah.
So they want to be entertained.
That's true. Very much so.
Good. And so mentioning the mentors there a minute ago, and also working with women in the executive suites, how do you feel that's important, and what are some of the benefits they bring that men don't?
In our company, we were the majority of this, and probably 55% of the senior executives were women. I didn't set out to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like I was doing some, you know, affirmative action for women or for anyone for that matter. What I was really doing was trying to get the best people. And in the restaurant business, particularly on the concept side and on the marketing side and on the people side, women bring a lot to the table. Now, there's some great operators as well, and one of our head operators, Lisa Bates, who I talk about in the book, probably the best restaurant operator I've ever personally met, way better than me. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's not a question of going out and seeking them. It's a question of who are the best people, and I don't care who you are.
Right.
You know, I want the best.
And how do you find these people, or do they find you?
In our case, my team went back a long way. It was a very unusual situation that the average tenure of my senior people was about 9 years, mm-hmm. which is a long time. in any business these days, but particularly in the restaurant business. And I got a lot of very, very strong loyalty, very great production, and dedication from those people. It was really fortunate.
Very good. And the book Gumption details all of this at length, and you can enjoy the reading at your bedside, or if you're sitting on the beach somewhere, or you're an upcoming restaurateur and want to really get in depth about Scott and all the good hard work he has done in the past. So make sure you go see him this Saturday, June 6th at 1:30 p.m. at Eagle Eye Bookshop down there in downtown Decatur. Beautiful downtown Decatur. And there's some great restaurants on the square down there that you should check out if you get time.
I will.
There really is. It's a hot spot in Atlanta for some unique restaurants. Also like to mention, you can find more information about him at scottbarnettassociates.com. You can follow him on Twitter at SBAGumption. Also on facebook.com/scottbarnettassociates. Also like to invite Mr. James Moss back to the program here to share his wealth of marketing experience and background. Perhaps you have a few questions for Scott here.
Well, I was very impressed, Scott, by your experience and you know, your variety, your plethora of experience from fast food to fine dining. I've had similar background.
Oh, okay.
And that I've been in the restauranting field myself, and even was a franchisee in the fast food side.
Oh, great.
With the Crystal Company.
Okay, sure, sure.
So I'm definitely one question, area that was covered. I'd like to ask about, and that's, what's your impression of the Southern hospitality versus the rest of the world?
Oh, that's an easy question. It is very night and day. I was always struck when I would go through, and we have restaurants in Miami and all over Florida and Charleston in South Carolina, in New Orleans, and in Tennessee. And so it always struck me the first few times. I said, God, people are so nice here. Mm-hmm. And they always say good morning, or how are you, or thank you, ma'am, or thank you, sir, that kind of thing. And it was really struck me. And finally, after about a year or two of this, I was back in California, and I was talking to people in the senior group. And I said, did it ever strike you that the people in the South are really nice? And everyone was going, yeah, it does, you know. And it's sort of, and it's just ready-made hospitality. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. It just is. And it's pleasant to see. And it's a lot easier to staff a restaurant with people because as I say in the book Gumption, you can teach anyone to wait tables in a three-table section. You cannot train a jerk to be a nice guy.
No.
And, you know, that cake was baked when they were 3 years old, and you just can't change that. So, you hit on it perfectly.
Well, similar restaurant experience there with QSC, quality service, cleanliness.
Correct.
And something I learned in the South, and very impressed by it, every place I've ever gone.
Oh, yeah.
But it sets the premise for marketing, and mm-hmm. that's a good marketing, too, very good technique.
Yeah.
For marketing any business mm-hmm. and letting, you know, that message get out to the customers.
You bet. You know, four walls marketing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the real thing. It starts there. I mean, because as you know, 80% of your business is going to come from 20% of your customers. So
absolutely.
Getting them to come back and come back and come back. So it's a big deal.
It's in the DNA here in the South. That's why we're so nice to everyone.
It clearly is.
People will see you coming across the parking lot going into a store, and they'll hold the door open for you.
Absolutely.
For 20, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Whereas in New York City, they'll slam it in your face as you're coming in.
So. They'll knock you out of the way to get through the door.
That's right. And it's everybody, you know, from any age, any background. If you're born and raised here in the South, like I am, you find that when you go other places, so, you know, I've traveled the world and been places, and people say, God, you're so nice. I was just born that way.
Right.
So, but don't make me mad, because then I'm not so nice. So
then it's game over, yeah.
Yeah.
Rich Casanova here, producer, engineer. Have a couple of questions for Scott here as well. What are some working titles you passed on for the book?
That's a question I have not been asked.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's, there were a few.
Don't run a restaurant? Yeah. Run, restaurant, run?
No. That actually was one of the titles, Run, Restaurant, Run.
No, it was not.
Yeah,
Come
it
on.
Was, but we couldn't use it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Copyright, yeah.
It's copyright infringement. But we talked about, God, what was it? Forrest goes to the restaurant business. what not to do, according to Forrest Gump.
You know? Well, that's the question. Could you use the word Forrest?
No, you couldn't. No.
Yeah, so you're kind of limited. Some of the But right. I think you struck on the good one. What about in the Gumption, the book? Is it a good book?
I think it's a good book. And you're asking the wrong guy.
I know, right?
I gave it a 5-star review on Amazon.
So. Nice, nice. What about a movie? Is there going to be a movie from the book?
You know, I don't. That's really
Tom Hanks. Sorry.
You know, there's a we've talked about the international rights and some other ancillary rights, and we don't know what's going to happen with that. I have to talk to Paramount about that.
And I've also we have a copy of the book here in the studio. I've been just kind of browsing through it, and I want to ask you a couple of questions on some of the. Page titles or chapters, but
sure.
I've also noticed there's no photos, there's no pictures in the book.
No, there aren't. There
any
aren't.
Recipes? Yeah,
nice. But no, seriously, a couple of these titles got my attention. Laboring in quotation marks in Bali and Cancun.
Right. Well, we opened restaurants internationally, and laboring is not exactly how I describe having right. to hang around in Bali or Cancun.
Yeah, is it in quotations? Yeah, laboring.
That's right. But we had a lot of fun on the international side. We ran into a whole plethora of people, international swindlers,
oh, wow.
a whole bunch of stuff. Manila, there's a title in there called Raining Bullets in
Manila. Yeah, in Manila, yeah.
Well, that was because I was there because I had to go take over the restaurant back from our franchisee.
Oh.
And when I did, it was during New Year's. So I spent my whole Christmas and New Year's in Manila working a restaurant. And at night, they told you, don't go out past 9:30 because everybody fires their guns in the air.
Oh,
and the bullets all come down. You don't want to be walking around when the bullets come back down to the ground.
That's a good bit of information to know, right?
It's good to know.
It's good to know. It's probably like asking your favorite kid, you know, who's your favorite kid? But I'm just browsing the titles here and maybe a story that might come to mind. I mean, that's a great story right there. What about, you know, I'll just rattle a few off and maybe you can spin off the dreams stuff are made of. Or maybe what I wanted to ask is along this is who's your audience for the book and restaurateurs, business folks, or is it, how would you describe?
I'd say that there's probably four audiences for this. First, there's the entrepreneur for any business, someone who's trying to build up a business themselves. Second, there's restaurant people who want to know how it works. Third, it would be people who are interested in Forrest Gump or the movie or Bubba Gump Shrimp, and they want to know how it all came about.
Oh, okay, the backstory.
Right. And then finally, I would say there's an audience with students in business schools and in hospitality schools who want to know how a restaurant company or a company generally is started and run and operated.
Speaking of students, before you came in, we were chatting about you know, mentorship programs that you're working on, James, and with students. Do you get called on? I mean, you do speaking engagements. So, I mean, cause what's a day in the life look like for you in addition to the book coming out? Typically, you do speaking and mentoring, or what keeps you busy?
Well, I have about four things going on, as you can imagine. Right now, I'm the interim CEO of a restaurant company in California called Ruby's Diner.
Oh, okay.
And I'm doing that. It's a situation where a friend of mine was the founder and he needed some help. So I've gone in and I'm going to be the CEO there probably for another 3 months. I've been there about three now.
Okay.
And then I also have a consulting practice and I do a little speaking.
Right.
And so I've spoken, and when you ask about students, I've talked to University of Arizona, San Diego State, a number of other colleges and universities. I'm expecting to talk to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas at some point here in the next few months. And that's something I really enjoy doing. And for colleges and universities, I don't charge my normal fees.
So okay, nice.
Right. And the topics that you speak on to the students is just about business, about how you know they can improve and hopefully giving them some guidance on what they need to do.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that one of the things that happens in business schools and business and schools in general is that there's a lot of book teaching, but there's not as much, it's changing and it's getting better, but there's not as much real world in the trenches, this is how it really works kind of teaching. And the best learning I ever had was taking a company through a bankruptcy when I took Rusty Pelican through that, because that taught me really about how business is done. I always used to say that was my mini MBA.
Yeah. Very good. And whether Scott is out there negotiating with movie chieftains or traveling the globe to exotic locations, dealing with international swindlers, coaxing reluctant investors, or battling the caricatured financial professionals, he and his team have built a world-renowned concept and his industry-leading company. Any new books on the horizon for you?
Well, if you would mention real quick, how would the folks find out about you and your company or business or
You can go to the website, www.scottbarnettassociates.com.
Okay.
There's another website for the book itself called gumptionbook.com. And of course I'm on Twitter and Facebook and all in different, and you can just search.
Right, at Twitter is at SBA Gumption and Facebook is facebook.com/Scott Barnett Associates.
Sorry, just wanted to get that announcement in, but, your question again, I think you were saying what's next or,
My next book.
Yes.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, that people always tell you, oh, you should write a book. Right. And what I learned out of this is that it's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, you really do. It's work. And it's particularly work when you've been doing it for 4 or 5 weeks and you get up and you just don't feel like writing anything. And you have this sort of, it's called writer's block. And right. I didn't even know what it was until I experienced it. And I had to go a week, 10 days where I really just would sit in front of my computer and didn't have anything come out. It really is a lot of work. And then once you do finish it, then you turn it over to an editor who completely changes things right. around and cuts 15,000 words out of the book and all that. And then it becomes a commodity almost. Mm-hmm. And you have to go back and try to make it more you and all this. And it's a very difficult process. If I do it again, at least I know what I'm getting into now.
Mm-hmm.
Since you had experience in the restauranting industry mm-hmm. and learned so much, do you now look at possible co-authoring opportunities to share that experience with people who've been in the industry or people who are working, co-workers as well?
I wouldn't rule that out. Okay. I have a pretty strong opinion of how things ought to go. So in terms of a book, I'd probably want to have the say in that. But I'm also very collaborative and very participative in how I do things. So if I felt that was appropriate for it, sure, I would do that. Absolutely.
Is there an audio version of this book?
Not yet.
Yeah, there should be.
Yeah,
we love audio here at Business Radio X.
Yeah.
Stick around after the show. We'll just record it real quick.
Yeah, real quick, right. All 80,000 words, right?
No. As we sit here and just talk casually, we've created some very good content already that could be used in a book. So sometimes it's easier to speak your thoughts than it is to write your thoughts.
You're right. You're right.
And so maybe, you know, setting up a little microphone at home and you just sit down and just start talking, then later it can, you know, kind of make its way to the paper and into the bookshelves.
Could be.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's an interesting question as first-time author, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if someone's an aspiring author? Because we talked about the restaurant business and about business in general, but speak to those folks that are, you know, looking at writing a book. What would be some takeaways, some do's and don'ts, or some lessons learned, or nuggets?
You know, it really, despite what I just said about writer's block and all that, it was not difficult to write this in the overall sense in this way. I was so passionate about Bubba Gump and so passionate about the business, and still am, that I knew there were just things I wanted to say, and I knew that there was a story I wanted to tell. And I wanted to tell this story for a number of people. One, for people who are, like I said, entrepreneurs and people who are starting businesses and want to run them. But I also wanted to speak to the people who had actually worked at Bubba Gump and were part of my team, which is all in all about 15,000 people
wow.
over the last 10 years. And I wanted to get that story out because I thought it was worth hearing. I thought people would get something out of it. If you're going to write a book, I would do it. If you're passionate about it, I would do it. I would just start and just start getting, you know, words in on the screen and go. Because if you're passionate enough, you will be successful. I believe that. I've always felt that way about business. I never, ever, and I, to this day, I've never felt when I get in the car and drive to the office that I'm going to work. Mm-hmm. I hear about people, I have to go to work today. Well, I want to go to work today. You know,
yeah.
I like going to work, and I like doing it because it's not really a job to me. It's what I'm passionate about. And I've always believed if you're passionate about something, the money will come. And mm-hmm. I do believe that. I really believe that.
I know you're not in the restaurant business for Bubba Gump at this juncture, but mm-hmm. I just from a personal observation, I know we had some family. We were down in Fort Lauderdale, mm-hmm. went to that location and got some great family photos and had a great time. But I'm on the site right now. I'm looking our closest to Atlanta. Correct me if I'm wrong. 133 miles we got to drive.
Is that to Charleston?
To Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Oh, Gatlinburg. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, Jimmy Buffett had a restaurant over in Sandy Springs, right nearby where I live,
mm-hmm.
Cheeseburger, and it's open. The space is available. So can we? Can we make that happen? Make a couple of phone calls? Or
You know, it's funny. I looked in Atlanta for a restaurant site probably 7 or 8 times
really?
Over the course of the years. Yeah. Wow. I was up in the Buckhead.
Yeah, Buckhead. That's where we're at right now.
Right. Buckhead area quite a bit. And we just never seemed to be able to get a site. And since I left,
yeah.
I think they're probably looking. I mean, it makes total sense. This is the center of the South, so I don't know why you wouldn't.
Well, closest place to me would be the former Margaritaville and Jimmy Buffett Sandy Springs perimeter. So if you can put in a word.
Yeah, right, you bet.
They make it easy just personally for me. But yeah, Buckhead's fine too, yeah.
I think their company headquarters was here too, as I recall, for the Buffett people, I think.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Margaritaville.
He was just playing a concert in town earlier this week over at the Gwinnett Arena.
Yeah.
I thought you would have gone out there, a Parrothead fan.
Are you a Parrothead?
I'm a wannabe or whatever,
Our franchisee in Cancun is also the Margaritaville franchisee.
Oh, really?
And when that restaurant opened, Jimmy played at that restaurant.
Wow.
So I got to see him.
That's what I'm saying. You probably hung out with the man, yeah.
Yeah, I did get a chance to meet him.
And
it was fun.
Did you ever meet Tom Hanks?
I never have.
Never met him.
Met Bob Zemeckis and Gary Sinise.
I'm a huge fan of him.
He is an incredibly great guy.
Yeah.
He is a really nice man. Very good man.
And he does a lot of work for the veterans, and just admire him for all the good stuff he does.
Very unselfish guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
What about Sally
Field?
Yeah.
No, I haven't met her.
Yeah. Forrest's mom.
Ryan, can you make that happen or whatever?
Yeah, let me get on the phone there to the rep there. So
it is funny. I'm on the home page of one of their right in the front tab here says gluten free.
No, we started gluten free like 6-7 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now it's everywhere. You can't find a restaurant that doesn't offer that option.
That's so I guess anymore. What is next? Your next venture?
You know, I think. It just depends on what comes my way. I've always been very lucky in that whatever I've been doing has led to another opportunity.
Okay.
It's really fortunate. I believe in luck. Mm-hmm. I am a lucky guy.
Nice.
And I've been if I had some wood around here, I'd knock on it. I'm very lucky, and I really do like being a consultant. I really like working with companies, particularly troubled companies, actually, because I think there's some lessons I've learned along the way that I can help them with. So that's probably in the future. I don't know if there's another book in the future. And of course, I do a lot of speaking, and I'm available for that. And just go to my website.
Nice. Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe you do a radio show.
Yeah, why not? I'm not sure I have the voice for the radio show.
You did right there when you said that.
Well, the book Gumption is not only a behind-the-scenes look at a very unusual world of restaurants, it also tells the inside story of movie studios, corporate politics, and the trials and tribulations of expanding a global business with a built-in brand recognition and the goodwill that they have spread around the world. Please go check out Scott Barnett this Saturday, the January or June 6th at the Eagle Eye Bookshop in downtown Decatur at 1:30 p.m. Get him to autograph your copy of Gumption. If you can't make it out there, go out to Amazon, some of these other
indie
websites.
Indie books. It's on Kindle, iBooks, all of the Nook, you can get on an ebook as well, so it's available everywhere.
And hopefully an audiobook one day. If you need somebody to narrate it, I'm up for the job there. So thank you very much, sir, for joining us in the studio today.
It really was a pleasure, Ryan.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your time here in Atlanta. Thank you, James Moss, also for being part of the broadcast. Everybody look forward to Progressive Business Radio starting July 1st. And thank you, Rich Casanova, for being most gracious producer, host, and engineer today. So listen next week, Friday, 11 a.m. to Georgia Business Radio. You can also follow us on Twitter at Georgia Biz Radio. I've been your host, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. See you on the radio.